6 o'clock, Tom says we got to get rolling here. He must have supper planned tonight or something. I never know. All right, there's the old gospel ship on 306. Let's stand and sing about it, the old gospel ship. I like that old song. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you'll find, you'll sure be left behind while I go sailing through. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. That's great singing. You may be seated. Good to see this good number tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody at all? Remember Logan, David Seals, remember him as he's recovering from his surgery. Brenda's going down Wednesday to Vandy, so please remember that. She'll have several tests that day. And so let's remember Brenda. Yes, Lynn. Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. Yeah, that's a sad situation down there. Lynn was just telling me about it today. Let's pray for that and that family. John, yes. Former brother-in-law. I still call him brother-in-law. He had a terrible accident yesterday, so please... They're still doing surgery on him today again. So remember him. Anybody else tonight? Okay. And I've got several clients who are just very sick, dear close friends, and I just ask you to remember them tonight. Yes, Brother Anthony. Cindy. Yes, got to remember Cindy. Okay, Anthony, we'll remember that. Yeah. All right, got many in the house tonight. Let's have a couple ushers. We'll take up our offering tonight. Tom, bless her offering.
Father, we're so thankful that you let us be here tonight. For these requests that have come up before, we do it with total confidence, total assurance. You gave us that right. You said we could make all our requests and petitions known to you. Anything that we'd ask in your name, give it to us. So Lord, we just bring them to you tonight. Things bigger than us, but not bigger than you. Now, Father, I pray for Nick. Lord, I pray a special anointing. Oh, Holy Spirit, may we hear from God tonight through the Word of God to the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I want to sing one more tonight. You can remain seated, and then Henry's going to share a special song with us. 137 in your book. 137. Yeah.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Now tonight, as we sing that, is He your precious Jesus? It's just not Jesus, Jesus, it's precious Jesus. And He is. Every day that we wake up, He's precious. Every day we get to enjoy the day, He's precious. When we get to lay down, He's precious. He's so good to us. Let's sing that fourth one.
I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
That's beautiful. Come on, Henry.
Than great riches, more than acclaim, more than meeting strangers who already know my name, more than respect from my closest of peers, there's a voice and a statement that I long to hear. Only two words will fulfill me when I see His face. For there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done. Amen. Don't you? You see, I have an ear always follow His whisper inside. There were days that I battled and I still lost the fight, but I laid regret where His precious blood fell, and with tender forgiveness He said, now go finish well. Only two words will fulfill me when I see His face, for there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done. Oh, when this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done. Well done.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I know that's what we all want to hear. I know we know people in our lives tonight that have already heard that. And one day we're going to hear it as well. And I can't wait to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And it's all because of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. It's great to be back out to God's house tonight. Good to see this number back out. I thought we had a good service this morning. Beautiful singing. Good crowd here. I hope the preaching was okay. So I felt like we had a good time in God's house this morning, and looking forward, already having another good time tonight. And it's good to have our pastor back with us, Dan and Susie. I asked him if he ate any chicken down there at that homecoming today. He said he may have ate a little. So, but it's definitely good to see him here with us tonight. I had somebody ask me the other day about becoming an associate pastor at Liberty Fellowship, and they asked me, they said, you know, how's that going to change you? You know, how do you feel now? You were just going there and attending and, you know, helping Dan out every once in a while. You know, how's that going to change you? And I got to thinking about it, and I didn't have to think very long. I looked at him and said, it's not going to change me at all. The same person you got before I got associate pastor title, I'm the same person right now. I'm thankful for the title. And I'm thankful for that God's led me and my family this way. I'm thankful that God's used Dan to help me out in the ministry. And I'm thankful that you all voted me in. But as far as me as a person, that ain't going to change one bit. I'm still going to be crazy, okay? So, and I know that you all like crazy because Dan's been here 35 years. So we'll be all right, okay? But I tell you what, it means a lot that a preacher can be himself and the church that they're in. And his wife can be herself. The kids can be their self. You don't have to put on some facade or anything like that. There's no facade to put on. So we're just very thankful to be here and love you all from the bottom of our hearts. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 3 tonight. If you brought your Bibles, Daniel chapter 3. Verse 19 is what stood out to me this week when I was reading. So we'll be in other verses too in Daniel chapter 3. But verse 19 will be the root of the message tonight. And we was on our way home from church this morning, and we went and picked up Shada and brought her, and we had to take her home. And She lives about 5 minutes from Mom, but Mom's got an MS flare-up right now, so she's not really able to get out and do anything. So we went and picked her up and brought her, so then we returned her back home today. And so I was in a car, me, Lene, Shada, Ellie, and Addie. One man, four women. Lene looked at me and said, "You're getting in the back seat between the girls." I looked at Lene, I said, "Lene, I'm the biggest one in this vehicle. Shada should have to climb back there and get in that middle seat." She said, "No, you are." So there I was, me and this large body mass that I am, trying to climb over Ellie and Addie, two car seats, to get in the middle. And by the time I got in the middle, I was sitting like this. So Ellie was like, "Daddy, get your elbow out of my seat." I say, "Honey, it ain't my fault. There ain't no room." So then we was on our way home, sat in the same place. We dropped Shada back off, and we're on our way home. I'm back up in the front seat now. And, you know, our prayer is that Addie falls asleep on the way home. Because if she falls asleep on the way home, we get a peaceful ride. We can actually listen to music and not have to listen to a movie going on in the background. Right now, it's Spidey and His Amazing Friends. That's, I could quote that movie. There's like 30 episodes. I could quote every one of them to you right now. And she wouldn't go to sleep. See, she's getting good. She knows that when she's about to fall asleep, she just starts talking to herself. She'll argue with herself too. Yes, no. Yes, no. Well, I got to say this. She kept herself awake all the way from Johnson City to the head of Stony Creek. I was so proud of her because she did it this time by singing Rocky Top. She sung Rocky Top from Johnson City, Tennessee, all the way up the head of Stony Creek. I have never been so proud of Addie in all my life. I was so happy. I was ready to storm the field. I mean, I was going to go home, put on all my orange. I about wore a Tennessee church tonight, preaching. I was so excited. And Ellie was acting like she was asleep. She wasn't. So she'd say, "Daddy, turn around." I'd turn around back there. She'd close her eyes. She'd open one of them like that. Then she'd just start giggling. But it was a fun ride home. So if you noticed, I was still getting dressed at 6:05. I left my suit jacket in Lene's car, and they had a birthday party to go to. But I was able to get a suit jacket on, no tie though. So I'm sorry, Tom.
Don't let it be a habit.
Okay, don't let it be a habit. All right. Daniel chapter. He's going to shoot you straight. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 19. The Bible says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." I'm going to ask my pastor Dan to pray tonight, okay? Yeah.
So that we can go out and help someone else. We'll praise you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I told y'all this morning that yesterday evening we went down to Lacey and Dustin's. They got some new property on Old Stagecoach Road in Jonesboro, and we went down there for a cookout yesterday evening. And Dustin, he's got this big pit bull smoker, and I love smoked salmon, and he was smoking some salmon on there. He knew I liked it, so he was kind of fixing that for me. And he got that smoker, and it could not go above 250 degrees. And he was telling me how if you cook, really if you get 300 or higher, it takes that smoke taste off of whatever it is that you're cooking. You don't want to get above that. So he was smoking that salmon around 225 and 250, and it had to get to 145 degrees. Before it was done. But when the salmon got done, he took it off. And I promise you, this ties into the message, okay? So just stay with me, all right? And he was going to throw on the hamburgers and the hot dogs. Now, he wasn't going to cook the hamburgers and the hot dogs at 220, 225, 230, quite frankly, because we wasn't going to wait another 2 hours to eat. We was ready to eat right then and there. So he turned that pit boss up to about, 400, 450, 500 degrees. Threw them burgers and hot dogs on there, and then it became more of a grill than a smoker. He turned up the heat on that smoker to where that it would start grilling and to where that it would start cooking faster. When I was thinking about that, this story in God's holy word kept coming back in my mind when King Nebuchadnezzar had the people turn up the heat in the fiery furnace 7 times hotter. Now, they didn't have no way to measure heat back then or anything like that. So in reality, what Nebuchadnezzar was saying is, I want you to make this furnace as hot as you possibly can. I want you to turn up the heat so that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown into this fiery furnace, the fires are going to consume them just like that. So King Nebuchadnezzar was saying, let's get this furnace as hot as we possibly can. So I gave you an example of Dustin turning up the heat on his smoker. And I've gave you an example of King Nebuchadnezzar turning up the heat right here in the fiery furnace. But I also think that we can look at what's going on in the world today and we can say, hey, you know what? Satan's turned up the heat. You look at what's going on in the world. You look at decisions that have been made in our world. You look at how probably now more than ever in the history of our country, the attack on young people is probably worse than it has ever been. Listen, folks, the devil is turning up the heat in this world we're living in. He's turning up the heat on churches, trying to get them to conform to today's time that we live in. He's turning up the heat on preachers and pastors, trying to get them to conform to the day and the time that we're living in. He's turning up the heat on Christians everywhere, trying to get people to conform to the day and the time that we live in. And the devil loves to use this excuse. Well, the Bible was written thousands of years ago. The Bible was written hundreds of years ago. What does something written that long ago have to do with the year 2023? Well, I'll tell you right now, it has everything to do with the year 2023. God knew from the very beginning of time what was going to be happening in the 1800s. He knew what was going to be happening in the 1900s. He knows what's happening in the 2000s. And if the Lord delays His coming, He's going to know what's going on in the 3000s before it ever gets here, bless God. The eternal Word of God. Notice that word, eternal. Forever. The Word of God will stand the test of time. Hallelujah. And you might say, well, how do you know the Word of God will stand the test of time? God's its author. The Holy Spirit's its author. Jesus is its author. And you know what? God is still on the throne. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Master. And the Holy Spirit is still here living inside of us, bless God. And it ain't going nowhere. God ain't going nowhere. And His Word's not going anywhere. Thank God for that. But we're living in a day and a time where Satan is turning up the heat. Turning up the heat to wanting people to become more accepting of sins. turning up the heat of saying, well, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to that, and I'm just going to go on my way and things like that. Another way Satan will turn up the heat is to get churches and Christians and preachers and pastors to lose their boldness too. You could go so many different ways with this, folks. I could mention so many things of how Satan is trying to, or not trying, but he is turning up the heat. So the question is, what are we going to do about Satan turning up the heat in our lives? He's going to turn up, listen, the devil sees how God's blessing our church. He sees how God is using people in our church. He sees that choir practice and choir this morning was so full. I thought we was going to hang somebody from a speaker right here. Bless God, that's awesome. That's great. I love it. But don't think the devil don't know that too. He's going to turn up the heat. He's going to try to do everything he can to discourage us. He's going to try to do everything he can to get after us. So what is our response as Christians when the devil turns up the heat in our lives, when the devil turns up the heat in our church, when the devil turns up the heat in our marriage and things like that? What is our response to Satan? How do we fight that? We turn the heat right back up on him. Because God's got a heat too. And that's what we're going to get in tonight, okay? So if we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the scripture that we read to you, verse 19, was about King Nebuchadnezzar turning up the heat, getting the furnace as hot as he possibly could. But I want to tell you something. If you really look at this story, King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the first one to turn up the heat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. You see, when that golden image was built and all those musicians played all that beautiful music and everybody in Babylon right there was to bow down to this golden image, was to bow down to this idol, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down, in reality, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing right there, they were turning up the spiritual heat for God. They were being bold. It would have been easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down. They were in a foreign land. They were in a land where Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree that everybody's going to worship this false god, and they could have said, hey, you know what? Let's just bow down and worship this false god. Nobody's going to know anything different. Nobody's going to know anything about it. Yeah, God would have known, and that's enough. Their parents may not have known. Their friends back home may not have known. Other Israelites may not have known. Other Hebrews may not have known, but God would have known. Listen, that's enough. The devil will get us in dark places and try to get us to do things in secret and say, listen, your parents won't find out, your family won't find out, your friends won't find out. Listen, God sees all, God knows all. He knows everything that's going on in our life. So it would have been easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to put their head in the dirt and to bow down before this false golden image, this idol. Let me get on that for a second. I can remember, now this is kind of a funny example, but I want to share this with you. When Michael Jordan was playing back in 1998, I think that was his last season with the Chicago Bulls. I can remember being in Mom and Dad's bedroom. It's the NBA Finals. He's playing the Utah Jazz. To me, Michael Jordan was the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And Mom and Dad came in there and said, Nick, it's time to go to church. And I did not want to go. Michael Jordan's on TV. It's 1998. This might be his last chance to win a title. Those were the things that I were telling Mom and Dad, but no, Mom and Dad wasn't having any part of it. You see, I was little, but I didn't know at that time. I was putting Michael Jordan way up here as an idol. I didn't know it at that time. I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I don't know how old I was. Notice how I throwed out about 12 numbers out there? I was somewhere in that territory, okay? But Mom and Dad made sure at a young age that I wasn't going to put Michael Jordan above God. Amen. That I wasn't going to put Michael Jordan over going out to God's house and to worship Him. And I was probably mad at him for a few days. Actually, for a few minutes. But you know what happened when I got to church? I didn't even think about that ball game anymore. I got in there with the other little kids and we got to listening to singing and to preaching and, you know, doing how kids are in church, probably being too mischievous, too loud in the back pew or something back there playing with cars. I didn't think about Michael Jordan anymore. Now, to Mom and Dad in that moment, and Mom may be listening on Facebook and Dad's right here, they might not understand and realize that was a long time ago. And I know it's a funny story, but man, at what a young age was that ingrained in my heart. Nothing comes before God. Not even Michael Jordan back in the day, okay? Well, then, as we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego right here, and that gets us back to idols. Let me finish that on idols. An idol does not have to be a golden image in your living room. An idol does not have to be a statue out in your front yard or anything like that. Your idol could be your job. Your idol could be your spouse. Your idol could be your children. Anything that we put before God, anything that we put before the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the definition of an idol. So help us. May God help us to not have idols in our life. May all of us keep God number one in each and every one of our lives. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was doing right here. And I believe that when them instruments played, now this is just the way that I visualize this tonight, I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even flinched. I don't even think they began to bow down. I don't even think they even started to have a discussion amongst themselves or anything like that. And then that got me to thinking about something else. Listen, as the children of God and as Liberty Fellowship Church and as me as your associate pastor and Dan as your pastor and us all working together for the glory of God, nobody's greater than the other. We're all working better for the glory of God, praise God, in a day and a time that we're living in where it's easy for the churches to flinch and it's easy for pastors and preachers to flinch because the devil is turning up the heat. Bless God, let's not flinch. Hallelujah. Let's stand on the solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Many storms have come up against this solid rock, but the rock has remained solid. Sin came up against that rock, but the rock remained solid. Nails came up against that rock, but the rock remained solid. Death came up against that rock, but the rock remained solid. Spit came up against that rock, and the rock remained solid. Being bitten, flesh being ripped off his back, came up against the rock, yet the rock remained solid. He carried the cross up Calvary's hill, and they had to get somebody from the audience to help him finish the job. But bless God, the rock remained solid. And I guarantee you, when Jesus comes back to gather the saints in the air, the rock will still be solid. Hallelujah. He will. Thank God for it. So I want you to understand in this story, let's not get caught up in the fact that King Nebuchadnezzar turned up the heat. Man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did too. Thankful for it. They were bold. So let's continue on through here. Let me find the verses that we're looking for. Let's look at verse 13. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets word of what's going on. There's always a tattletale in the audience. We're trying to teach Ellie not to be such a tattletale on her sister. It's funny. I just love to share a story with y'all about my family, because you all are my family too. Well, they had a little pool over at Dustin and Lacey's house yesterday, and the kids was getting in it. And Canaan, he's all boy. Y'all know that. He's all boy. He would take off running and jump in that pool, and he would splash water everywhere, and it kept getting in Ellie's face. And every time Canaan jumped in that pool, Ellie would say, "Bubby's hurting me. Bubby's splashing water in my face." And I told Ellie, I said, "Ellie, it's a swimming pool. Your face is going to get wet." Well, Dustin stepped in and said, "Canaan, stop. Sissy don't want to get her face wet." And I swear, this is hilarious. Canaan got in that pool as soft as he possibly could. And when his foot went in, there was a little splash of water that went up. And of all the places for it to go, it went right in Ellie's face. And Ellie said, "Daddy, Bubby hurt me again. Bubby splashed water in my face." I'm like, "No, Ellie, he didn't." But that's all in us, maybe to be a little bit of a tattletale or something like that. Well, somebody went and tattletold on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you can say, well, they got told on because they didn't bow down to the golden image. That's true. You can say they got told on because when all the music played, they didn't flinch, and that's true. But basically, another way you can look at it, they were getting told on because they were serving the one true God. Amen. Bless God tonight. I hope I get told on because I'm serving God. Amen. I hope somebody tells on me because I'm serving Jesus. I hope somebody tells on me because I'm serving the Holy Spirit. I hope somebody tells on me because I'm serving God. I hope that somebody tells on you because that you're serving Jesus. Because bless God, if you're serving God and you're serving Jesus, that means you have forsaken this world and you have forsaken yourself. And bless God, you're living for God tonight. I hope somebody tells on me and I hope somebody tells on you. My Aunt Jenny, she's in heaven now, went to Charlotte and did her funeral 3 or 4 months back. But they had a day at work where she worked. I ain't going to mention the name of the place because it don't matter. Where they got all the employees a t-shirt to wear. And it was to promote same-sex marriage and things like that. And she didn't wear it. She did not wear it. And she had a meeting with management and all that stuff. And they didn't fire her. They didn't suspend her or anything like that, but they made her take. She called me, son. She was fired up. She was so fired up. She worked in the city of Charlotte, and she said, Nick, I just want to come back to the mountain homes of Tennessee. She was fired up. She said, Nick, they're making me take classes on how to be more accepting of other cultures and of other difference of views and difference of opinions. Now, I say that to say this. I was proud of my Aunt Jenny. She did not mean that as a shot against that community or anything like that. The reason she didn't wear that shirt was because she knew it went against her God. Amen. It wasn't a fight against them. It was a fight against sin. Now, I'm not saying that to brag on her. I guess I am bragging on her, but I'm also saying it to say this. I hope we all have that boldness. Amen. To where we will stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lisa, if you're listening tonight, I hope you heard that. So we look at this. King Nebuchadnezzar's furious. Let's look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? So now he's talking to them face to face. They're in the principal's office. I've been to the principal's office. I squirt mustard in a kid's hair once. I had to go to the principal's office. I don't even know if Dad knew that. All right. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of all these instruments, I'm not going to read those to you, but when you hear the sound of all these instruments, I want you to fall down and worship this image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour. So not a day or two, the same hour we're in right now. I'm going to give you a second chance. And if you don't do it this time, you're going to die. I'm throwing you into the fiery furnace. I'm turning up the heat on that thing, and you are going to die. Shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I want to stop right there just for a second. Who is that God? Well, bless God, He's my God. Bless God, He's your God. Even the person that's out on the side of the street that is not saved yet, do you know what? God wants to be their God too. That's how loving He is. That's how merciful He is. That's how long-suffering that He is. But bless God tonight, I'm so thankful that I know who my God is. And bless God, my God knows who I am. That's right. Hallelujah. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? So we get to 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They're not giving him a haphazard answer here, folks. They're being bold. They ain't no, well, we thought about it and we ain't going to do it. They ain't no, we might do it. Can you give us a few more days? That's how we all are. That reminds me. Lene tells me to take out the trash. I say, I'll do it. 3 days later, it's done. All right, it's funny. I love life. It's just so funny. I don't know if Lene thinks it's that funny, but I think it's pretty funny. All right. What was I talking about? Fiery furnace, deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Be not careful to answer thee in this matter. Right. Thanks, Tom. Be not careful to answer thee in this matter. Listen, they wasn't standing there bowed down. No, they were looking King Nebuchadnezzar square in the face and saying, we ain't going to do this. We're not going to bow down to this false. false god. We're not going to bow down to this false image. I know we're in Babylon, and I know that you all worship false gods, but I'll tell you right now, the Hebrews may not know, the Israelites may not know, but bless God, my God's going to know, and that's enough. I'm not going to bow but toward this idol. Praise God, let us not bow to idols. Praise God, let us not give in to the sins of this world. Let us not give in to this modern age that we're all living in. Let us not conform to this world, but let us be transformers of this world, bless God. Amen. Through God, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, this is where it gets really good. If it be so, I love that. If it be so, if it's God's will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know that they wasn't going to die yet. They had no idea. God had not revealed that to them yet, but it didn't matter. Whew! You talk about turning up the heat. The first way they turned up the heat is they didn't bow. The second way they turned up the heat, it don't matter if we die or not, we're keeping our faith in our God. So if you want to know how to turn up the heat in your life, don't bow to this world that we're living in, number one. And number two, stand for God no matter if it costs you your life or not. And you might say, well, that's crazy. We live in the United States of America. I want to tell you something right now. I don't know how bad it's going to get here. I know Jesus is going to come back. I'm no Revelation scholar. I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to get in America before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But I love what that girl, I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2000, 2001. Maybe it was late 90s. That girl at Columbine School that lost her life because she said she knew Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. The only one in the whole room that stood up, took a bullet and died right there. She's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bless God. Thank God for her. Are you willing to lose your life for your salvation? Listen, there's people in the Middle East that lose their life every day because they love Jesus. There's people in China that lose their life because they love Jesus. There's people in Russia that lose their life because there's people all around the world in these third world countries and things like that. They lose their life because they love Jesus. What would we do if a plane dropped us off in the Middle East? Would we renounce our faith or would we keep it? I'm being that honest. I'm talking to myself too. I'm just not talking to you all. What would we do? Would you be willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll end that point with this. Christ was willing to die for me. I hope we're willing to die for Him. If it be so, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't know if God's going to save us or not, but it don't matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. So they say, the God that we serve can deliver us, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then verse 18, but if not, if God chooses to let us die, if God chooses to let us roast in that fiery furnace, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, we don't care if we live and die. We know that our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, but I tell you right now, we're not going to bow to that golden image. We're going to leave in God's hands. If He says live, we'll live. If He says die, we die. Either way, we're winners, bless God. Hallelujah. If we live, we're winners. If we die, we winners. Why? Because God has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. So verse 19, He's furious now. He's got this big golden image built. I can see this as maybe being the dedication ceremony to it. The first one ever. You want everything to go perfect. And He's got this big hiccup right here. He's furious. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times hotter than it was heated. Now I told you they didn't have a way of gauging how hot something was back then. They didn't have them thermometer things. You could stick in there and see the exact temperature. What that means is he's getting as hot as he possibly can. Seven times hotter than it was. Old Nebuchadnezzar was turning up the heat. But why was Nebuchadnezzar turning up the heat? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had turned up the heat. Bless God. I hope Satan turns up the heat in our lives because we've turned up the heat in our lives for God. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. I like it. And he commanded the most mighty men, the mightiest soldiers that he had. He sent them to arrest Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, it gets really good right here. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tie them up, arrest them, and to cast them into the fiery furnace. So these mighty men, the greatest soldiers that King Nebuchadnezzar has, is going to arrest these three teenage boys. Can I say something? Age don't matter when it comes to God. I don't care if you're 10 years old. I don't care if you're 90 years old. God can use anybody He wants to use. Hallelujah. Thank the good Lord for it. 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats. They had all their clothes on, had all their garments on. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are now inside the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar has used the most mightiest soldiers that he has. And look what happens to these soldiers. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot. I want to stop at that word urgent right now. It's time for us as Christians to have some urgency in our lives. As a church, we need to have some urgency in our church. Urgency for what? Urgency for the lost. We're talking about heat. Listen, hell is a hot place. A hot place. Let me tell you something. You don't think the devil knows that Jesus is getting ready to come back? You look at what's going on in the world. I can assure you for 100% fact, Satan is acting with some urgency right now. So God's children better be acting with some urgency. Hallelujah. Okay? And the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the greatest soldiers that King Nebuchadnezzar had, when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace was so hot that they died. The mightiest soldiers that he had, they died. Just from throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Bless God, I hope that we are so on fire for God that we have turned up the heat so much that when the devil sends his plan our way, that it burns up before it even gets in the doors. Hallelujah. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar turned up the heat, but bless God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had too. He just didn't realize it. He didn't know it. He didn't recognize it. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they fell down in the fire. You ever fell down in the fire before? You ever fell down in the storm before? You ever fell down in the trouble before? You ever fell down in the heartache before? Have you ever fell down in the trials and tribulations of this world? But look what happens when you fall down, bless God. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Rose up in haste, got up quickly, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto thee, O king, true, O king, we did throw three men in there. Then listen what he says. He had turned up the heat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had turned up the heat. Well, bless God, now God's getting ready to turn up the heat. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Well, glory to God. Are you not thankful that when you were in the fiery furnace, praise God, somebody else appeared with you? Are you not thankful that while you were on the storms of the raging seas, somebody appeared walking on the water, bless God, and it wasn't just some angel, but bless God, it was Jesus Himself. Hallelujah. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. If you'll remember at the beginning of this story, King Nebuchadnezzar said gods. He worshipped many gods. Well, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego turned up the heat, and because God turned up the heat, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar just made a confession right here. There's only one. It's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened? Their hats didn't burn. Their clothes didn't burn. They didn't even get a scratch from falling into the furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that burned was what they were bound in. That rope that was around their hands when they were arrested. Well, glory to God. There was a time, each and every one of us, that we were arrested. Our hands were tied together. And it wasn't bound by rope, but we were bound by sin. But bless God, we got thrown into the fiery furnace. The account was having to be settled. We got thrown into the fiery furnace. But instead of the fire consuming us, Jesus stepped into the fire with us and bore our sins. And we were arrested no more. And we were set free. The ropes of sin that were wrapped around us, praise God, were burned off. And we came out of the fiery furnace with not even a scratch. Not even a burn, bless God. Not even the smell of smoke. I'm thankful that Jesus stood in the fiery furnace with me, bless God. And I know you're thankful that He stood in the fiery furnace with you. So the challenge tonight is this. Let's turn up the heat. The world's turning up the heat. Satan's turning up the heat. We as the children of God can turn up the heat too. And we do it through and by God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We do it through boldness like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. We do it through not worrying about what's going to happen. Now the situation here was whether or not they lived or died. It could be a completely different situation for you. You know, we love to know what's going to happen. If I do this, what's going to happen? It don't matter. God's got it. It's in His hands. Okay? So let's turn up the heat by being bold. Let's turn up the heat by having faith in God. Let's turn up the heat by not conforming in the world that we're living in. But bless God, let's turn up the heat by being on fire for Jesus. And that's being transformed with renewing of mind and renewing of spirit and serving God to the very best we can. And that's how you turn up the heat for Jesus, okay? Let's stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I had a good day in God's house today. I hope you all did too. It was great to have our pastor back with us tonight. We missed him this morning. I know I missed him. It was good to see him back tonight. Don't forget Wednesday night. We're still in Zechariah, right, Dan? Yeah. But we're just about finished it up. So Zechariah Wednesday night. And yes, Brenda, go ahead. Okay, yes.
It's just our family's already got a warning, so it'll just mainly be our church. So I'd love for all the women to try to come out and, you know, support her.
Yeah.
This meet her today for the first time.
Yeah. This is for Logan and Riley, and they work shift work. He works Kingsport Fire Department. She works over at Eastman. So they have to work a lot of Sundays. So when they can be here, they are here. And I tell you what. She looked like she's ready to go this morning. So you might be having a baby shower Saturday and the baby may be sitting there. That'd be pretty awesome, all right? Feed it a piece of cake. He deserves it, all right? Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask, brother, what was your name?
Gary.
Gary, will you dismiss us in prayer, buddy?